Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson for those who do some preaching and teaching in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a little story. The pastor stood in the pulpit, and when he began his sermon, there was a palpable silence that came over the congregation. You could have heard a pin drop throughout the presentation. The pastor's point was clear. He led the congregation to the conclusion he desired as he saw it from Scripture. And the congregation was affected. Their conclusion was, "Wow, I see what Pastor's saying, and I get his point and the point of Scripture." The people went away with a sense that they heard something eloquent. That's my subject, eloquence. And as you can see on the whiteboard, eloquence is not something you should seek. Eloquence is an outcome. And it's an outcome of having in a presentation a certain forcefulness, a certain persuasiveness, and a certain expressiveness. And these three elements combine to produce eloquence. And so you don't pursue eloquence as a first step. Let's look at what we're talking about here as I have it on the whiteboard. Eloquence is the product of forcefulness, persuasiveness, and expressiveness. I'm quite fond of W.G.T. Shedd and his little book on homiletics and pastoral theology. The bulk of the book is on homiletics, and W.G.T. Shedd was a Southern Presbyterian, and he was an Edwards student. He loved Jonathan Edwards. Listen to what Shedd says about the sermon. "The sermon should be eloquence. How do you achieve eloquence? It should be a discourse that exhibits singleness of aim and a converging progress toward an outward practical end." In other words, if there's to be real forcefulness in a sermon, the sermon or the teaching, if you want to put it this way, must have unity. And unity comes from having a single aim or a single purpose. Shedd puts it this way. He goes back to the passage of Scripture that the pastor or the teacher is unfolding. "Unless a passage is taken that finally comes round in full circle, containing one leading sentiment and teaching one grand lesson, like a parable of our Lord, the expository sermon must either be commentary or paraphrase. And if it be either of these, It cannot be classed among sermons. This is a startling statement. That if the lesson or the sermon or the teaching is simply a commentary, a series of reflections on the various words of the text, or a series of reflections on the content of the text, or if it's simply a rewording of the various aspects of the text, a commentary or a paraphrase, and if it be either of these, it cannot be classed among sermons, because the utmost it can accomplish is information. I have maintained this for a long time, that sermons are not designed to simply inform. That's the heresy of modern educational practice. Simply give students enough information and they'll make the correct decisions. No, no. Sermons must be much more than this. Because the utmost it can accomplish is information. Persuasion, the proper function and distinguishing characteristic of eloquence, forms no part of its effect upon the audience. And so you have two things all of a sudden that come to the fore. The idea of forcefulness that is tied up in unity, and a single proposition, a single homiletical point, a single point being set forth by the pastor. I've maintained also for a long time that when the pastor or the teacher grasps the single point being taught in a passage of Scripture by the Holy Spirit, that single point is the truth of God. And when you grasp the truth of God in this way from Scripture, that truth begins to burn in your heart. Now, what must you do? Forcefulness depends upon unity and bringing all aspects of the teaching or the sermon into conformity with that single point. And you do this by having a logical progression in the sermon that leads to the point you want the people to get. You see, this is a philosophy of ministry. This is the idea of shepherding. This is the idea of leading the people to the point you desire them to understand from Scripture. And you want that point to burn in their hearts as it burns in your heart. And so what happens when you have this forcefulness which comes from unity, built around the message being built around a single point, and the outline in the sermon leading individuals to this point, because your desire is to get across that point to the congregation and lead them as a shepherd to that point, expressiveness comes out of the presentation. That is, you're already emotionally involved in what you are seeking to present. And so, that emotion is transferred to those who are listening as they intently seek to understand what you're saying. And so eloquence then is the outcome. Eloquence is the product of forcefulness that comes from unity in the sermon or the teaching, and that unity is derived from the fact that there's a single point you desire to get across. You don't desire to get across 2 points. You don't desire to get across 3 points. You don't desire to get across 4 points. You don't desire to get across 5 points. No, you want to persuade the people of the validity of the single point you seek to get across. And so, to persuade them, you have a logical argument that leads them to this single point. You see, if you have three or four points, like the fingers of my hand here, three or four points, all those points are parallel to each other, and those points go back to perhaps the single idea that you're seeking to present in your sermon. But as a result, there's no progress that takes place in your sermon. Force is therefore lost. And when force is lost, expressiveness lags behind. Listen to what W.G.T. Shedd says again. The pastor's aim is to pervade his sermon with but one leading idea, to embody it with but one doctrine, and to make it teach but one lesson. Very important to understand. And then Shedd says, the importance of this maxim, the importance of this central idea, may be best seen by considering the fact that sermons are more defective in respect to unity of structure and a constant progress toward a single end than in any other respect. Most sermons lack unity and progress or movement toward a single end. And what happens? They then lack forcefulness, and they lack pervasiveness or persuasiveness. And if this is the case, they will lack eloquence. It's very simple. But these, Shedd says, are strictly oratorical qualities. And he's not talking about oratory in the sense of something being flamboyant. He's simply speaking about oral presentations, the standard stock and trade sermon. But these are strictly oratorical qualities and can be secured only by attending to the nature and laws of eloquence. See, eloquence again is an outcome. Eloquence is an outcome of forcefulness that's based upon unity of structure and the fact that the sermon, the discourse, the teaching has one point. Eloquence comes from persuasiveness, that there's a logic to what's said in the sermon that leads individuals in the congregation to the single point the pastor desires the people to get. Eloquence is the product of persuasiveness. And then, as I say, expressiveness follows. Why? Once again, when the idea of the text begins to burn in your heart, then you seek to persuade those in the congregation of the truth of God you've seen in Scripture. And that expressiveness that burdens your heart follows. It comes forth naturally. And so what you must see is that eloquence is a combination of forcefulness, persuasion, and expressiveness. These three coming together produce eloquence. Here again, W.G.T. Shedd. What must the pastor do? He will need to watch his mind and his plan with great care, lest the discourse overflow its banks and spread out in all directions, losing the current and deep, strong volume of eloquence. In other words, a little bit of self-discipline is in order. Make sure that the mind is attuned to the single point being developed, and that there's a persuasive argument given in the sermon or the lesson. Unless this is the case, as Shedd says, the discourse will overflow its banks, and it will not run deep. It will not have the kind of expressiveness necessary, producing eloquence. And so be mindful of this, friends. If you preach, if you teach in the church, you may desire to have individuals respond to your messages or your teachings with, "Wow, I get it." And for them to perceive in the message a certain eloquence that grasps their hearts. But this eloquence is an outcome. It's an outcome of forcefulness, persuasiveness, and expressiveness. It's an outcome of unity of purpose that moves toward a single end and expresses the heart of the text being expounded. It's a combination of these three things. And when you work on unity of purpose and movement toward a single end, grasping the heart of a text and allowing it to burn in your soul, forcefulness and persuasiveness and expressiveness will emerge, and the outcome will be eloquence. Thanks for listening.